Wednesday, October 28, 2015, you are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, sports writer from Denver, Colorado. Hey, you know, we release a new podcast every single Wednesday, and bring you just a little bit different of an outlook on the world of sports than you are going to get anywhere else. If you're kind of tired of the same nonsense that you get fed from some of the mass media sports outlets that are out there, check out the Daily Dose. I think you will like it. We try to mix in a little bit of common sense with our sports takes. If you would like to contact me, a couple different ways you can do that. You can email the show directly, dailydosesports@gmail.com. That is D-A-L-Y, Daily Dose Sports. You can find me on Twitter, Daily Dose Sports. You can find me on Facebook, Daily Dose Sports. And if you would like to head over and check out our website, we do put up new articles every single week. The website is dailydosesports.wordpress.com. We have been releasing our NBA divisional previews this past week. You might want to head over and check those out. I think you will like those. This week on the show, we do have our NBA preview. We go through and give you an outlook for every single team, give you a few storylines to watch, and I'll even give you my picks on like Rookie of the Year, MVP, Coach of the Year, and who I think will be playing in the NBA Finals this year. Plus, I know, like I said, it doesn't exactly feel like basketball season this year. It doesn't feel like it's just so early. It's such a long, long season. We've got to get some Major League Baseball in, got to talk some college football, and of course, we will talk the NFL. And as we do every single week, we will give you our Daily Dose Top 5, a very popular segment. If you want, just a little bit of insight, you might want to check out the Top 5 today because I've got something for you today you don't want to miss. A number of things coming out in the sports world today. Obviously, big news. Last night, World Series got started. Kansas City Royals versus the New York Mets. And what a bizarre, crazy game. Now, I have a confession to make. I've got to tell you this right up front. Baseball is such a long season. I struggled to watch it. It's so long. It would be like watching the NBA, just the whole, 9 months or whatever it is. And so, like, it's back in like April and May, and I'm going, man, I can't watch this early. It's too long. I can't watch it. And then it gets into like July, and I'm like, yeah, but man, it's such a long season. I'll have a few games on here or there, but I can't quite watch. And it gets into August, September, and you're like, I guess it's getting better, but football season's starting. Gets into September. Well, yeah, but I mean, college football's going, NFL's going. Last night, here, it's the World Series, and I'm like, I guess, but the NBA's starting tonight. And then you have this bizarre game. I mean, the game starts with an inside the park home run. And then it actually kind of got crazier from there. There was a power failure. Fox apparently didn't want us watching baseball at all. Somehow, the Royals beat the Mets in 14 innings. The game went over 5 hours. It really, really was just a weird, weird game. And we saw a little bit of everything. We saw big home runs. We saw some errors. We saw just some crazy, crazy play. It was just a wild, interesting game. It was just really, really long. I'll be interested to see actually how the TV ratings came out. I heard that the TV ratings came out pretty solid. They were up a little bit from last year. It'll be interesting to see how they compared with the NBA opening their season last night. Game two of this matchup will be on Wednesday night. You'll have DeGrom facing Johnny Cueto. It's a weird series, and I don't know, I realize that the Mets are going to have to try to find a way to get at least a game back in Kansas City. I think this next game on Wednesday is probably their best bet to do that. Just a crazy game last night. My problem with it was so long. It was so long. And then with the technical difficulties, I kept switching over to the NBA and keeping an eye on the NBA games. And one of the games that I did watch, you might have saw LeBron James and the Cleveland Cavaliers lose to the Chicago Bulls 97-95 on opening night. As when it came down the stretch, the Cavs had a hard time. They couldn't get the ball inbounded to LeBron James. He was trying to get open. Jimmy Butler did a phenomenal job getting up into his chest and not letting him slip through screens. The Bulls beat the Cavs. Golden State, they opened last night. The NBA champion Golden State Warriors opened last night against the New Orleans Pelicans, and Steph Curry went absolutely crazy as the Warriors beat the Pelicans 111-95. We're going to talk a little bit more about each one of these teams. And Golden State, I know they opened last night, and they looked very, very good last night. Steph Curry was out of his mind last night. I think he finished with 40. Phenomenal game from the Warriors last night. But I've got a little bit of concerns about the Warriors. I'm going to tell you about those in just a few minutes. Of course, one of the big stories coming out this week is that Dallas Cowboys owner, Jerry Jones, says that he wants to sign team leader, I put that, I guess, in quotation marks, team leader Greg Hardy to a long-term deal. And I know this shocks a lot of people. You know, Hardy was convicted of domestic abuse. It was appealed. He was convicted. It was appealed when the witness refused to show up. He sat out a season. On Sunday, Greg Hardy apparently was upset with special teams play and got mad at his special teams coach, knocked a clipboard out of his hand, was yelling at his teammates, actually had to have Dez Bryant trying to calm him down. Dez Bryant was the voice of reason for the Dallas Cowboys, which tells you a lot about the Dallas Cowboys at this point. Anyways, you know, we all look at this and we say, you know, this stuff isn't tolerated anymore. You don't do this stuff anymore. We have evolved as a country. We have evolved as people. You're not yelling at your coaches. You're not slapping clipboards out of their hand. You know who hasn't evolved? Jerry Jones. Because here's what I want you to keep in mind. Because people are like, how on earth would Jerry Jones be looking at this guy saying, I want to give him a long-term deal? Now, let me tell you how. I want you to keep in mind, back in the 90s, when the Cowboys were winning Super Bowls and the Cowboys were going crazy and the Cowboys were just, you know, winning 3 out of 4 or whatever it was, he was perfectly fine with Michael Irvin, you know, snorting coke off a hooker. He just has that boys will be boys kind of thing. I mean, it's not exactly the politically correct kind of field. Do you really think he cares if Greg Hardy's knocking a clipboard around? Compare the two instances. Which ones would you have a bigger problem with? He had no problem with what was going on in the 90s. Do you really think he cares about a little bit of a sideline rant? I've got news for you. He doesn't. Maybe if Hardy was smacking Adrian Peterson's kid with Tom Brady's deflated footballs, maybe then he would care. But I've got news for you. He doesn't care one bit. All he knows is Greg Hardy gets after the passer. That's all he cares about. Jerry Jones doesn't care about that nonsense. He'll sign that clown to a long-term deal, and he'll eventually end up paying for it. Going to talk a little bit more about the Cowboys here in just a few minutes. Let's jump in and get into some college football. We talked about this way back probably in like July and August. Miami fired their head coach, Al Golden. After Miami had its worst loss in the history of the program. Think of how long Miami football has been going. Worst loss ever. 58-0 to Clemson. Now, I know what Miami fan is thinking. Miami fan is sitting there saying, hey, you know, we've got to put together a list. They need to go out and get like Urban Meyer or like Nick Saban. I've got news for you. Miami is a horrible job. And if you don't know, you know, the situation that Miami is, because you remember Miami from the 80s and a little bit from the 90s and that kind of thing. And you're like, oh, man, Miami's one of the premier jobs in the country. No, it isn't. It's really not. For one, it's a commuter school. You don't get much in the way of fan support. The stadium is actually clear across town from the campus. So students don't even go to the stadium. And here's one of the bigger problems. No matter what you do at Miami, you always are going to have this huge spotlight on you, and you're always going to have former players like the Ed Reeds and the Ray Lewis and the Michael Irvins, and of course, like, you know, Luther Campbell telling you what you should be doing. No matter how much you win, you're going to have that. You have three, at least in name, big name open jobs right now. You've got, you know, Southern Cal, South Carolina, I guess it's an SEC school, so I guess we put that in there, and Miami. You want to know the worst job of the bunch? Miami. And it's not even close. Because USC, obviously, that's probably the best job of the bunch. They've got the facilities, they've got the recruits, they've got the support of the Los Angeles area. South Carolina has a huge, huge, fan support situation back there. They support like no other back in South Carolina. If you do anything, they will come out in droves. Miami, That's a horrible job. The fans are pathetic. They don't even come when they're winning. That's a bad, bad job. And I know, like I said, you're going to start hearing people talk about, well, who's Miami going to get? They're going to get nobody. That's who they're going to get. They're going to get whoever just really wants to go there because they're not going to get one of the big dogs. I can promise you that. A couple of interesting things going on in college football this past week. Georgia Tech apparently listened to the Daily Dose last week when I put them on our list of disappointments so far this season and went out and upset Florida State. Upset Florida State. Game was tied, last second field goal. Georgia Tech blocks the field goal and then proceeds to return it all the way back for a touchdown. Here's the bad news for Florida State. You probably have no chance at playing in a playoff because the ACC is terrible. And I'm going to tell you who else this is bad news for. This is really bad news for Clemson. Because Clemson was looking at this saying, hey, if we beat an unbeaten Florida State, it looks pretty good for our record. Well, now you're not going to beat an undefeated Florida State. And now Florida State has nothing to lose when they play you. Yeah, ACC is bad. And I don't think the ACC is going to get into any sort of playoff. You're going to have everybody fall off. You're going to have two lost teams that can probably get in ahead of anyone in the ACC because it's just such a bad, bad conference. Some horrible, horrible news out of Oklahoma State last week when a drunk driver plowed into a crowd of spectators Saturday morning during the Oklahoma State homecoming parade. Actually, four people were killed. Four dozen people were injured. It's just a sad, sad situation. Our thoughts and prayers go to all those out in Stillwater, all those families touched by that situation. Now, here's one thing that I want to talk about, though. And I realize when I say this, this is probably going to go against a lot of what people are thinking. I heard a number of people in the mass sports media start talking about, well, they should have canceled the game. They should have postponed the game. There's no way they should have played the game after such a horrific event as this. And I get it. And more sympathetic, I could not be. But the people saying this are clearly people that have never worked in an athletic office, because I've got news for you. That is a really, really big snowball that is coming down the hill, and there's no way you can get in front of it and stop it. I mean, think about this for 1 second. Like weeks in advance or something, you know, so bad that you know, I guess everyone is crippled where they can't get out. This game is getting ready to start in a few hours and you were telling them they should have postponed it? What do you do with everyone? I mean, logistically, what do you do with everyone? You have plane reservations and bus reservations and you have, you know, police escorts and hotel reservations and you have all this stuff. And I heard all these people condemning Oklahoma State for having the game. They don't have a choice. I've got news for you. They don't have a choice. They have to have the game. Tickets sold. People at the stadium. People in the stadium. People in the parking lot. You're going to just go out and say, hey, it's all over. We can't have it. You can't do it. So while I sympathize completely and I understand why people said they should have postponed the game, there was no way they should have played the game. I get it. I really do. And like I said, I couldn't be more sympathetic. There's no way you can get in front of that and stop it, though. That game is happening, whether anybody likes it or not. It just is. Sad to say. And there's just no, people always talk about that. Well, they should have postponed the game. Do you realize how much is involved in trying to postpone? Even trying to delay a start to a few hours later? Do you realize how many people you have to try that are affected by something like that? It's a huge, huge production to put on a game like that. Not quite common sense to think that you can just postpone it for another couple weeks. It doesn't work that way. People were already at the stadium. A few games that I want you to keep in mind coming up this week. A couple of games that I think are going to be very, very interesting to keep an eye on. First off, and I realize we're not supposed to say it. We're not supposed to say it. We're supposed to say the world's largest party. The world's largest outdoor cocktail party is taking place on Saturday as the University of Georgia will face number 11 Florida. Now, the Florida Gators could clinch a berth in the SEC championship game because, they've already beaten Tennessee. That is the other team over there. As long as they take care of business against Georgia and they take care of business against South Carolina, they're going to be in the SEC championship. They've already beat Missouri. And when I look at this game, Florida playing pretty well. Defense is playing pretty well. Got to see what quarterback Treon Harris is going to do. Georgia looks like they're a little bit of a mess. And I don't know what's going on with Georgia. I don't know if there's a situation where there's something internal going on with the coaching staff. There's something funky about Georgia right now. And having said that, Georgia probably comes out and beats Florida because that's just how this goofy series has gone. But there's something, I don't know if people think like Richt is going to get fired and the coaching, there's something funky there. They barely beat a Missouri team that is struggling to do anything. Georgia has a ton of talent. It is not that they are without talent. They just haven't gotten it done in big games. Interesting game to watch on Saturday. The other game I'm going to give you, and it's a game, if I would have told you at the beginning of the season, here's a game to watch, you would have said, really? You sure about that? Here's a game I want you to keep an eye on. And maybe it should be a blowout, right? Number 9, Notre Dame, is going to go to number 21, Temple. Temple's undefeated. Temple has a really, really good defense. Now, having said that, I don't think that they are ready for this kind of test. Notre Dame is absolutely loaded. They've just lost so many people to injury. Notre Dame still has a slight outside chance at a playoff spot. I think it will be very, very tough for Temple, but I'm telling you, you might want to keep an eye on it because anytime you have a defense, you can have the greatest offense ever, but your offense can get taken away from you. Anytime you have a really, really good defense, it at least gives you a chance. You can at least stay in the game and maybe, you know, maybe you get a lucky bounce. Maybe something falls your way. Keep an eye on Notre Dame and Temple. Let's shift over to the NFL. Did you get up bright and early on Sunday morning and watch that game in London? Did you watch the Bills and Jags on your laptop on Sunday morning? The NFL had this brilliant idea. They're so smart. The NFL is just so clever sometimes. We're going to put a game on, and it's not going to be on TV. We're just going to do, you know, the live cast on Yahoo Sports or whatever it was. This is the future, I guess. And so I see the score flashing, like, on Twitter. I'm on Twitter kind of looking at some stuff, and I see the score flash, and I'm like, wow, this game's kind of a weird game. Like the Jaguars jumped out to a 27-3 lead early. And then the Bills come all the way back, and with like 2 minutes left, they had actually taken the lead 31-27. They'd come all the way back. And I was like, well, Jags, typical, they'll give it away. Well, right, just under 2 minutes left, Jaguars actually find a way to get in. And now I'm like, I am going to have to get on my laptop or, you know, turn on my phone or something, go over to Yahoo Sports and watch this stupid game. No, seriously, I did. The Bills have the ball, final drive. It would be nice to watch it on TV. I'm not going to lie, NFL. I know you guys are smarter than all of us, but it would be, you know, kind of nice to turn it on TV and actually watch it. The Bills' final drive, they're just struggling to get a first down. They can't get a first down. Tyrod Taylor is out. He did not play this last week. They go with EJ Manuel, who, let's just say, not the most accurate quarterback and not really the kind of quarterback you want leading your team. But the Bills' final drive, they get down to like a 4th-and-1, 4th-and-2 situation. 57 seconds left in the game. Buffalo down by 3. They're at their own 40-yard line. Here is the play of the game. Here is the play of the game. Bills versus Jags. Now, I have actually gone over to my laptop, turned it on. I'm like, I want to see how this ends up. I want to see if the Bills can go down and win this thing. Play the game. He goes to center. EJ Manuel lines up under center, gets ready to snap it. Buffering. Seriously? This is the future of the NFL? Rex Ryan was back in the locker room staring open mouth at his players taking off their shoes by the time I knew what had even happened. Are you joking me? That is what we're going to watch? I seriously sat there and watched as the little circle spun around on my screen saying buffering because there were so many people trying to watch at that time. I didn't even get to see the end of the game. Ridiculous. Get this nonsense out of here. We're going to live cast a game. That was the stupidest thing I've ever seen. Thursday night, you might have saw the Seattle Seahawks beat the 49ers. And now you have a number of people. Hey, Seahawks are back. Look, they look good again. Maybe. But it is the Niners who are playing like a bad college team right now. Colin Kaepernick had 124 yards passing, more than I did against the Seahawks. 124 yards? That, remember, this was the guy that was the future of the NFL. He's so broken. He's so, so broken. Speaking of teams that might be getting too full of themselves, I told you a few weeks ago, when Miami fired their head coach, Joe Philbin, they are going to start winning some games. the Miami Dolphins are going to start winning some games because they have a really talented roster. And you know what else is going to help? They have really bad teams upcoming on their schedule. And so, sure enough, they've come out and they've won, what, 2-3 games now in a row? And you're starting to hear some, hey, Dolphins are right there. Dolphins could contend. Dolphins are pretty good. Yeah, they could. As long as they get to keep playing like the Houston Texans every week, they'd be right in it. Unfortunately, they get to go to New England this Thursday night. Welcome back to sucking, Dolphins, because we know that's where you belong. I still don't have any faith in Ryan Tannehill. And I know that the tight ends coach, Campbell or whatever, he's come in and he's gotten a lot of credit because he put in the Oklahoma drill, you know, like a little league coach would do. He's a genius. Slow down, Dolphin fan. You're probably going to get a pretty heavy dose of reality this next week. Speaking of the Patriots, Patriots actually had to outlast the Jets a little bit, 30-23 this past week. The Jets kind of played the Patriots tough. They held them to just 16 yards rushing. And 15 of those were by Tom Brady. They just couldn't stop Tom Brady, and they couldn't cover Rob Gronkowski when they had to. Jets are kind of looking like they might be the team out of the East that maybe can contend with the Patriots, because right now it doesn't look like it's the Bills. For all the Rex Ryan talk and all the time he's told us how good he is, it doesn't look like it's the Bills, at least right now. The San Diego Chargers, they've officially bottomed out. They are 2-4. And they were facing, well, they were 2-4 and they were facing the Raiders at home on Sunday. Here's a game, you're in San Diego, you're in front of your home team, you're facing a Raider team that, albeit is better, is probably not, we'll see if they're even a playoff contender. So Chargers, here's your chance. If you're going to put yourself back out there, if you're going to be a contender at all, here is your chance. Raiders at home, get it done. At one point, this game was 37-6 Raiders. That's what you bring Phillip Rivers, who people keep telling me he's a Hall of Fame contender. That's what you do when the chips are down 37-6. And yes, Phillip Rivers came back and made it a little more respectable. It's finished like 37-24 or something. And everyone's, oh, he's so courageous in a loss. Like always. Good news though, Charger fans. I know Charger fans this week are struggling. I know, because you were sitting there saying, hey, this is our chance. We're going to beat the Raiders. We're going to kind of get on a roll. We're going to get this going. We're going to get this cranked up, and it's not over yet. We're too talented of a team to be horrible this bad. Good news. Good news for you, Charger fan. The Chargers are going to be LA's problem real soon, and you won't have to worry about it. And finally, the Dallas Cowboys lost their fourth game in a row. We spoke earlier about Greg Hardy and how upset he was. Cowboys lost 27-20 to the New York Giants. And here's what I'm going to throw this out there, and I'm telling you, when I do, you're going to be shocked. The Cowboys benched Brandon Weeden in favor of Matt Cassel. Matt Cassel got the start and threw 3 interceptions. Why didn't anyone tell us that Matt Cassel was so awful? No one told us. I can just hear Jerry Jones. We really thought he was going to be the kind of kid that would just come in and just, you know, lead us to a victory. Matt Cassel? That was who you pinned your hopes on? Matt Cassel? Yeah, if only you'd known he was awful. Yeah, everyone knows he's awful. He's one of the worst quarterbacks on the planet. This, again, when I look at guys around the league like Matt Cassel, and even someone like E.J. Manuel, this, again, is where I say there's something sinister about the fact that Tim Tebow can't get any snaps. You're telling me he would have done worse than that? Pathetic. Stupid. Hey, this week, we actually have some games to watch in the NFL. And I know I told you a couple weeks ago, the few weeks that were kind of dry. Not really any big time games to keep an eye. This week, we have some good NFL games to watch. Let me give you a few of them that you should probably keep an eye on. The Bengals, Cincinnati goes to Pittsburgh. And you might look at this and say, Cincinnati's undefeated. Pittsburgh has struggled. A couple things to keep in mind. One, they're talking about Ben Roethlisberger might be back this week. We'll keep an eye on that. He would definitely change the feel of that game. And, you know, the Steelers are coming off a bad loss to Kansas City. And we had kind of talked about maybe their defense was showing signs of improvement. The Steelers allowed almost 400 yards to Alex Smith and the Kansas City offense, who, by the way, don't have Jamal Charles. So I don't even know how they were getting all the yardage. But somehow, Pittsburgh's defense allowed them nearly 400 yards. Cincinnati, they're gonna have to go in and work for this one. The Jets, the New York Jets, who are coming off of a close loss against you know the Patriots, now travel to Oakland, and we'll see. You know, Raiders are getting you know after they stomped on San Diego, Raider fans are getting a little bit cocky. You know, it seems like every season. And I just got to share this with you because you might not be aware of this. Maybe you've never noticed. Because for the past like decade, the Raiders have been horrible. But let me let you in on a little insight with Oakland Raiders and their fans. It seems like every single season, Raider fans designate one game to be their Super Bowl. Now, you don't know what game that's going to be. We have no idea what game it's going to be. It might be a preseason game. It might be just like the third game of the season. It might be like the 12th game of the season. You never know. You never know. But against one certain opponent, they will get a win. And then Raider fans like deem themselves the champs based on that one game. I'll give you an example. Last year, remember when they beat the Chiefs in like week 12? Like they were 0-11 and they beat the Chiefs in week 12. It didn't mean anything. But then the Raider fans got all excited and they were telling people what's wrong with their team. And you know what's really wrong with your team is you guys really need to get a running game like we have. I don't know if you saw us against the Chiefs last night, but we've really got Raider fan just, well, this year it was that San Diego game. And so we're going to see on Sunday, was that San Diego game their Super Bowl? And then they're going to come crashing back to earth against the Jets, or was that San Diego game kind of a sign that, hey, this team is getting a little bit better and they're going to build on that and do something this week against the Jets too? Stay tuned. Stay tuned, because you never know with the Raiders. And it's always hard to judge with Raider fans because they get pretty excited when they do get a win. It's been a long time. And I'll be honest, there's part of me that's kind of cheering for the Raiders. The league is better when the Raiders are at least in the conversation. I mean, it's a better league when there's at least something to talk about with them. And we haven't had anything to talk about with them since, like, I don't know, Reagan was in office. Seahawks go to the Cowboys this week. Seattle is still struggling. They're not quite right. That offensive line is not very good. The defense has shown some flaws. But the Cowboys look really bad. And the Cowboys at least have a chance of losing 5 games in a row. And I'm telling you right now, if they start Matt Castle again, they're going to lose 5 games in a row. That's how that's going to go. Biggest game of the week probably is going to be Sunday night as the Green Bay Packers come to Denver and face the Broncos. It's going to be Broncos defense versus Packers offense because we've seen what the Broncos offense has to do. And they have really, really struggled. Offensive line has been rebuilt. Offensive line has not gotten the job done. Peyton Manning has been under pressure. They can't get a running game going. That is going to be a very, very interesting game. Now, you're going to hear a lot of talk about the Packers defense. And don't get me wrong. The Packers defense is improved. They are better than they have been the last 2 or 3 years. But they're not a great defense. They are a defense so far this season that has bended. They've had some bend to them, but they haven't really broken and given up big scores. But aside from that flaky San Diego team, they haven't really played any good offense. So it's going to be interesting to see, you know, kind of which team shows up. Can the Broncos defense keep up the run that they've been on? I think it's a very, very tough game for Denver. I think if the Packers can get out and score and Peyton Manning doesn't take care of the football, which he has not done this year, I think the Broncos could lose their first of the season. Hope for an entertaining game. Should be at least a little bit fun to watch. Let's jump over to our NBA preview, because we've got to talk about some NBA teams. NBA is here. It is officially underway. Last night it got started. And if you haven't seen, you know, like I said, our NBA previews, head over to dailydosesports.wordpress.com. You can check out each team, each division, how I think they're going to finish within their division. A couple storylines that I want you to keep in mind with the NBA season this year. Obviously, everyone's going to be keeping an eye on, can Golden State repeat? They went on that amazing run last year, just rolling through the playoffs, beating everybody, playing so, so, so well. Can Golden State repeat is going to be, you know, a storyline. Can LeBron James lead Cleveland to a title? That is something that is proven to be very, very difficult for a number of different players. That is going to be big news, and everyone's going to be talking about LeBron James. And, you know, with that team, with the Golden State team, we know that leagues and sports in general are copycat leagues. Will this trend towards kind of the small ball and more of the skill player as opposed to just the big man that's overpowering everyone, will that trend continue as we start to see some of these teams? Golden State does a little bit. Houston tries to do a little bit, although they, you know, they got Dwight Howard. You have a couple of these teams that are tending a little bit towards small ball, not that big dominating big man, more of a big man that can step out on the perimeter and hurt you in a few different ways. It's almost a little bit of European basketball. Going to keep an eye on, see if that trend continues, or if we get back to, nope, we're going to feed it into the post and just go to work. Let's start talking about some of these teams and some of the divisions. We look over on the eastern side in the Atlantic Division. You look at a team like Boston. The Celtics, I actually like coming out of the Atlantic. I think the Celtics can make the playoffs this year. They've got some very, very good guards in Evan Turner, Isaiah Thomas, Avery Bradley. They've got Marcus Smart, who is more the defensive guard. He can shut down your best guard, though. You know, Brad Stevens came over from Butler. And when he took that job, everyone kind of looked at it and said, man, Brad Stevens is a college coach. He looks like a little boy. There is no way he is going to get the Celtics back even to, you know, respectability. Celtics are pretty solid. They're not great. Now, they did go out and they signed David Lee, who is probably hurt right now with some weird ailment. I don't know what's wrong with him, but I'll bet there's something wrong with him. Boston, I think, can be pretty good, and I think they can come out of the East. The Toronto Raptors. I love the addition of Damari Carroll. Carroll is a guy that is a very, very good defender. He doesn't have to have the basketball on the offensive end. He can go out and just shut down your best offensive player. Toronto, if they can stay healthy, and that has been the issue with the Toronto Raptors, if they could stay healthy, they have Kyle Lowry, they have DeMar DeRozan, they have some talent on that side. Patrick Patterson should continue to improve. Just kind of a lunch pail kind of guy that just works really hard. Toronto, I'm going to say, could give the Cavaliers a little bit of a run over on the eastern side. I like the Raptors. My biggest concern with them is they never seem like they're healthy. The Brooklyn Nets. Lionel Hollins comes over from Memphis. The problem with Brooklyn is they have a lot of old guys. I mean, that roster is just filled with a bunch of old, creaky men, and I think that will wear on them eventually. The New York Knicks at least have some NBA players now. They haven't had that in the past few years. They've got Carmelo, who, you know, will play when he feels like it and will shoot all the time. They've got Aaron Aflalo, who is a good sign for them. Keep an eye on the rookie Kristaps Porzingis. Yes, the Knicks are still terrible. I'm not going to lie. But they're better than they have been, and at least now they are actually starting to field an NBA roster, which is different for them. Last in that division, Philadelphia 76ers, they're just a mess. Sixers are just the best. They keep drafting big men. They have no guards. And the big men that they have, I don't know that they're that good. They have a lot of guys with injuries. They have a lot of big men that really... Nerlens Noel, maybe he's okay. I mean, they get Jahlil Okafor this year in the draft. I think he has a bright future, but it doesn't matter. If you don't have anyone to pass them the ball, they're not going to do anything. In the Central, switch over to Central. Cleveland Cavaliers, they look like they're the class of the East. But I want to just have you think about something for just a second. Again, and you're going to hear from all the mass, you know, sports now, Cleveland is it, Cleveland is it, Cleveland is it, they're the best, and they are. On paper, the Cleveland Cavaliers are the best team in the East. They're probably about the fifth best team in the league. They're about the best team in the East, though, at least on paper. Here's something I want you to think about, though. I have a very, very smart audience that listens to the Daily Dose. I know that I have some intelligent listeners out there. I've heard from you. I know some of you. We have some smart listeners. What is the leading cause of sports injuries? I want you to think about that for just a second. What's the leading cause of sports injuries? And you might think, well, impact, you know, collisions. No, it's actually not. You know what the leading cause of sports injuries is? Previous injuries. And this Cleveland Cavalier team has a ton of previous injuries. LeBron James has a lot of miles on that body. And I realize he's bigger, stronger, faster than everyone else in the league. He has a lot of mileage on that body. I think this is his 14th season. And with all his playoffs, it's more like his 17th season. But when you think of players like Kevin Love, like Kyrie Irving, like Iman Shumpert, all these guys, they have a history. Not one injury. They have a history of injuries. So are they going to stay healthy? I don't have any idea. I don't know. But I know that when you have a history of injuries, you're probably going to have more. See, we have this mentality in sports, a lot of times as sports fans, we have this mentality that's kind of a video game mentality. So we look at a guy like Kyrie Irving and we say, well, yeah, he was out for the finals and he sat out this whole time. He's been out this whole time and he's, you know, they're bringing him back really slowly and he's going to, you know, eat the hearts or eat the medicine bottle like in a video game. And then he's going to come back and he's going to be 100% better. Well, that's not how the human body, deals with things. And so he's going to have still problems. He had a knee injury. Well, that knee may still give him a problem. And you know what else? The ankle on that knee may start hurting too, and the hip may start hurting, and his back might start bothering because he's favoring that knee. The human body doesn't heal that way. You don't just come back 100% better and everything's fine now. That isn't how it works. So I want to see if Cleveland can stay healthy. The other issue that I have with Cleveland, do you realize they have the highest payroll in the NBA? Everyone got paid. Everybody got paid. LeBron James is getting more money. Love is getting more money. Kyrie is getting more money. Shumpert's getting more money. They re-signed J.R. Smith to more money. They re-signed Tristan Thompson to a huge deal when I don't even know if he's that good. Mo Williams got signed to a ton of money. When does that ever work? When you're just handing out money in just, you know, wheelbarrows? Rarely does that ever work. It just doesn't. Yes, the Cavaliers are the team to beat in the East. But I think they have some issues. I think there are some problems with Cleveland Cavaliers. One team that I really, really like, and a team that I think could push Cleveland a little bit. They're going to have to grow up really, really fast. The Milwaukee Bucks have a nice, nice young nucleus. The Greek freak, Giannis Antetokounmpo, phenomenal player. He may be one of the best young players in the NBA today. Jabari Parker comes back from injury. They pick up a workman like Greg Monroe, who is just another guy that's going to go out. He's going to battle. He's going to be tough. Michael Carter Williams gives them a nice little backcourt. The Milwaukee Bucks are pretty good. I don't know about their depth, but on the Eastern side, you can get away with that a little bit more. We saw last night the Chicago Bulls come out and beat the Cavaliers on opening night. I don't put a whole lot of stock into that. The Bulls in the offseason fired their head coach, Tom Thibodeau, and they bring in Fred Hoiberg. It's always interesting. Anytime you fire a coach, it's this pendulum that swings. So he had a player's coach, and he was really good with the players, and he took it easy on them, didn't make them practice all that hard, and they really come out and performed, and then we ended up firing him. So we're going to go get the general that is just like tough. Screams at him, really hard on him. It's going to swing back and forth. Now, Thibodeau was the guy who was tough. He preached defense. He was very, very hard on him. They had to practice very, very hard. And they go get Fred Hoiberg, who's kind of at the other end of the spectrum. He's going to be more, we're going to run a lot of offense. We're going to take it a little bit easier. We're going to shoot a lot of threes. Now, maybe it works. Maybe this team still keeps its defensive principles that they learned under Thibodeau, and they add a little more offense because we know in the playoffs that they struggled at times to score points. Maybe Fred Hoiberg gives them that, or maybe they kind of fall apart. It's going to be interesting to see. Of course, the story with Chicago is always, can they stay healthy? Derrick Rose probably just got a paper cut. Joakim Noah has had a history of injury problems. He still plays through them, but he's had a history of injury problems. Going to be interesting to see, can the Chicago Bulls just stay healthy this year? I like the Detroit Pistons. The Pistons are another team that I think could surprise a little bit. Andre Drummond, Brandon Jennings, Reggie Jackson. Stan Van Gundy took over in Detroit. And Stan Van Gundy, yes, I know he looks like Ron Jeremy. I know that. But, you know, Stan Van Gundy, two things about him. One, he'll get these guys to play very, very hard. Two, he'll put these guys, Andre Drummond and Reggie Jackson specifically, he likes to do a lot of isolation plays. He'll get Drummond isolated over on the backside, feed him the ball and let him go to work. He'll get some slashing opportunities for Reggie Jackson. Stan Van Gundy's a very, very good coach. He will get the Pistons to be competitive again. The Indiana Pacers, they apparently want to run the floor and they want to shoot a lot more. At least that is what President Larry Bird says. He says he wants them to play more up-tempo and shoot more. They did sign Monte Ellis, which does help. Monte Ellis is definitely a gunner. He'll get some shots up. Paul George is coming back and should be healthy coming back from that injury. Here's the problem for Indiana. They don't have much else. So you can run and shoot all the shots you want, but it might just mean that you're just having faster misses. Pacers, I think, are a team that is going to struggle a little bit. Keep an eye on the Pacers. They lost Roy Hibbert. Yeah, I know that's not much of a loss, but they did lose him. Let's move over to the Southeast. The Atlanta Hawks. I like the signing of Tiago Splitter, but I think losing DeMar Carroll really, really hurts that team. The Hawks were the regular season champions last year in the East. I don't know if they can repeat that same feat without DeMar Carroll. I think that is a big, big loss. I do like Splitter inside, giving them more of a presence inside. Atlanta Hawks are still going to be solid. They're still going to be a playoff team. I just think that hurts them a little bit. Washington Wizards. Can the Wizards finally step up? Because the Wizards are a team that we've been looking at now for the past 2 years saying, hey, they're right there. They should compete with the Cavaliers this year. You've got John Wall and Bradley Beal, which is a really, really nice combo. I'm always still, I never can quite figure out why it seems like Bradley Beal is the one distributing to John Wall. I want that switch. I don't know why it works that way. But John Wall, Bradley Beal, nice combination. Otto Porter has to step up for these guys. They lost Paul Pierce. Otto Porter is a guy that could step in, be a rebounder, get some garbage points, get some late stops, things like that that this team desperately needs. I like Washington just a little bit. The Miami Heat. Miami, you know, Pat Riley has done a pretty decent job rebuilding this team around Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. And I think that Miami is another one of those teams that can compete in the East because it's the East. And I think that Miami is a team that they should be pretty competitive. They may be able to push the Cavaliers a little bit. Here is my biggest beef with Miami. They have done a decent job without having to totally decimate their roster, get rid of Boss, get rid of Wade, totally just clean house. They're still able to rebuild around those players. And he's done a pretty good job. Here's the problem for Miami. At the end of the day, you have completely rebuilt your team around a 33-year-old Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, who is returning not from an injury, from a life-threatening health issue. That's a little bit of a concern to me. Over in that Southeast also, another team that I like and a team that you're going to see some major improvements from is the Orlando Magic. Scott Skiles. Yes, he is a very, very hard coach to play for, but Scott Skiles will do this. He will get the Orlando Magic to play hard. And teams that play hard, it hides a lot of mistakes. You can make mistakes at full speed. You can make mistakes at 100%, and they don't look nearly as bad as when you make mistakes and you're not really playing that hard. The problem for Orlando is they just have so far to improve from because they were one of the worst teams in the NBA. Victor Oladipo, Tobias Harris, Nikola Vucevic, they are not Jordan, Pippen, and Rodman. But expect the Orlando Magic to be better because they are going to improve. They are going to be a better roster. And like I said, they are going to play very, very hard. If you sleep on Orlando for a change, they can beat you this year because Scott Skiles will have this group playing very, very hard. Granted, in 2 or 3 years, they'll completely quit on him, but don't worry about that. Charlotte Hornets. Charlotte Hornets. I look at this team, and I'm just watching them, and I know they were in the playoffs 2 years ago. Think about this for 1 second, though. The Charlotte Hornets currently have Cody Zeller, Tyler Hansborough, and Frank Kaminsky on their roster. What on earth is Michael Jordan really doing? This is... well, I'll tell you how we're going to build this team. We're going to get a bunch of, under-athletic, big white guys on our team, and we're going to, kind of build the franchise around. That's your plan? Man. Jordan, greatest basketball player who ever lived, not exactly the greatest NBA executive. Wow. That lineup is bizarre. Charlotte, I don't think will be very good this year. Let's shift over to the West because let's be honest. The West is really where it's at. In the Northwest, the Oklahoma City Thunder, I'm telling you, Oklahoma City could contend this year. Oklahoma City could push Golden State. They get Kevin Durant back. I realize, again, we talked about previous injuries are what cause future injuries. Kevin Durant has like a screw in his foot. And for a big man, bad feet and bad backs are like the kiss of death. Want to see if Kevin Durant returns and can stay healthy. But Oklahoma City got rid of their head coach, Scott Brooks. And they brought in Florida coach, Billy Donovan. Now, a lot of people are going to say, college coaches can't coach in the NBA. And I realize there is a track record where that has been the case. But Billy Donovan kind of coached Florida like an NBA team. if you ever watch them, a lot of just ball screens, a lot of movement, a lot of player action, that stuff is going to look really, really good at the NBA level with NBA bodies running it. You're probably not going to see Russell Westbrook going one-on-one and Durant hiding in the corner when there's a last-second possession. They're probably going to run some good stuff. Oklahoma City Thunder could contend in the West. With the game on the line, I kind of like that team and what Billy Donovan is going to bring to that group. Number two in the Northwest, I'm going to put the Utah Jazz over there. Jazz are slowly building. You've got Gordon Hayward. You've got Alec Burks. You've got Derek Favors. You've got Trey Burke. You have a little bit of something there to work with Utah. I realize they're not going to make the playoffs, and I don't even know if they can finish second in this horrible division. It's a really bad division aside from Oklahoma City, but I'll take Utah, and they are getting better. They're getting better. Quinn Snyder has done a decent job with the Utah Jazz, and they are showing some signs of improvement. Number three, I don't know if I should take this. And horrible news coming out this week from Minnesota. Head coach Flip Saunders passed away from cancer, and it happened so fast. I mean, they were talking about Flip Saunders will be back this season to coach, and then on Sunday they had said Flip Saunders, well, he might not be back this year, and then Flip Saunders passed away. I mean, it just happened so, so quick. I know that he had, what was it, Hodgkin's lymphoma, and just cancer came on him really, really quick. They lost Flip Saunders. This Minnesota team has some good young talent. The problem, they have some talent in general. The problem for Minnesota is it's either really, really young talent, you know, like Andrew Wiggins, Zach LaVine, Ricky Rubio, or they're really, really old talent like Kevin Garnett and like Andre Miller. Maybe this team comes out with kind of a, hey, we're going to play this season for Flip Saunders, and maybe Minnesota comes out and plays well this year. They have a ton of room for improvement, and they have some pieces. They have a nice little group that they're putting together in Minnesota. They seem at least to be on the right track. They just, again, they're starting from so far down, it's going to be tough to come back. And the loss of Flip Saunders, great coach. You know, the interesting thing about Saunders, find someone who didn't like him. I mean, you know, you always say, well, they all have their detractors. They all have their enemies. I can't find anyone who had anything bad to say about Flip Saunders ever. Just a good, good guy. Basketball world will miss him. Number four in the Northwest, I'm going to go with the hometown, horrible, awful Denver Nuggets, who are a dumpster fire. They did get Emmanuel Mudiay in the draft. And Mudiay looks like he could be very, very good. Kenneth Faried has looked very good so far in preseason, if that matters at all. We know a few things that we're going to get out of this Denver team. We're going to get Wilson Chandler. He'll be hurt, and he'll play like he doesn't really care half the time. And you'll hear people in Denver. I realize if you're listening to this and you're not in Denver, you're like, who? But people in Denver will talk about all the potential that Danilo Gallinari has. Meanwhile, he'll be struggling with like these various nagging injuries. He has like a hamstring. He has a bad ankle. His finger hurts. And he shows you flashes. Oh, he had 11 last night. He looked really good. And everyone will be like, oh, he's got such a bright future. Does he? Does he really? Because we've had him for a while now. He hasn't done anything. Denver Nuggets are a horrible franchise and probably should be disbanded. Number five in the Northwest, I'm going to put the Portland Trailblazers. And you might think from last year and go, Portland, how are they dead last in a bad division? Probably the worst division in the NBA. I'm going to tell you why. LaMarcus Aldridge, gone. Wes Matthews, gone. Aaron Aflalo, gone. Robin Lopez, gone. Steve Blake, gone. Alonzo G, gone. Hope, gone. Future, gone. Aspirations, gone. Sorry, Portland, you're dead last. Shift over to the Pacific. This sounds weird coming out, but I'm telling you, the Los Angeles Clippers are going to have the most talented team in Clippers history, and it is not even close. The Clippers might have the most talented team in the NBA. Think about what they have now. Jamal Crawford, Blake Griffin, DeAndre Jordan, Chris Paul, Paul Pierce, Josh Smith, Lance Stephenson. I still have a few questions about their bench, but Doc Rivers has kind of tweaked this starting lineup, putting in Lance Stephenson into the starting lineup, and now you have Josh Smith, granted, great-grandpa Paul Pierce, coming off the bench with Jamal Crawford, who last year we know was the only thing coming off the bench. That's not a bad lineup. Clippers might be the most talented team in the NBA. Clippers could contend for an NBA title. I know. I know it sounds weird. It really does. Number two in this league, or in this division. I'm going to put the Golden State Warriors. Now, you're going to hear all the NBA pundits. You're going to hear all the sports people telling you how this team has literally no weaknesses whatsoever. They are just going to get better. Steph Curry is going to get better. We saw him last night go crazy. Goes for 40. He looked great against a kind of depleted New Orleans team. And I'll be honest, I'm not expecting this huge drop-off. But if you're going to tell me this team doesn't have flaws, we're probably going to disagree. For one, head coach Steve Kerr is out. He had back surgery. Now, you say, well, he had back surgery. He'll be done and he'll be... Do you realize why he had back surgery? Steve Kerr had back surgery because he was leaking spinal fluid. Now, I'm not a doctor. I don't even play one on TV. Sometimes I act like one like once a week on a podcast, but I'm not a doctor. But leaking spinal fluid, that's bad, right? That sounds bad to me. Like if I have that, I'm going to be concerned. That sounds really, really bad. And if you sit there and say, well, it doesn't matter. This team already knows what they have. Steve Kerr did a pretty good job with his team. Remember last year in the first game of the NBA Finals? When the Cavaliers kind of came out and thumped them a little bit, and you saw the Warriors kind of feeling sorry for themselves, whining about calls, why aren't things going our way? And Steve Kerr kind of said, no, we're not doing that. You're going to step up and you're going to start playing and stop feeling sorry for yourselves. Let's go out and win a couple games. And they did. If you think the loss of Steve Kerr won't affect this team, then you're telling me you don't think Steve Kerr is a very good coach. I think he's pretty good. I think they're going to miss having Steve Kerr there for a while. And I know they have assistants that'll step. It's not the same. It's a little bit different of a deal. Also, this team still doesn't really have much of a presence inside. I realize they play small ball. I realize they play that perimeter ball, and that style, it really, really works for them. The problem that I would be concerned with, when we saw it last year in the finals, remember how the Cavaliers were able to go inside again and again and again and keep pounding it inside to guys like Tristan Thompson because they didn't have much of a defensive presence. Andrew Bogut is always hurt. Maurice Spates is always fat. It just seems like they're going to have some problems inside. I think this is still going to be a tough out in the playoffs. I think Golden State will still be there contending for a title. But they do have some issues they have to address. And I do think they could take a small step back a little bit this year because they have some of those issues. And you're going to get every team's best shot every single night because you are the NBA champs. That does change the way you play. Phoenix Suns should be a little bit better this year. Last year, they had a ton of chemistry problems. Guys that weren't getting along in the locker room. Guys wanted more minutes. Guys wanted more shots. They got rid of Isaiah Thomas. They got rid of Goran Dragic. And they brought in Tyson Chandler. It's kind of interesting. You think of Tyson Chandler. Oh, he's this young punk. Tyson Chandler is kind of a stabilizing force. He's a good rim protector. He'll be give them a little bit of a defensive presence inside. Phoenix Suns should be a little bit better this year. Speaking of teams that made crazy changes, the Sacramento Kings completely overhauled their roster, and they seem to be trying to build around talented knucklehead DeMarcus Cousins. Think about this roster for 1 second when you think about the Sacramento Kings. They now have Caron Butler, Willie Cauley-Stein, Rudy Gay, and Rajon Rondo. All added to DeMarcus Cousins. All added into the mix with Boogie. George Karl may quit by Thanksgiving. That is a roster. They could be talented. They might be talented. And if anyone could get something out of that group, it would be George Karl. My goodness, that is a locker room that feels a lot like it could explode at any second. Final team in that Pacific division, got to be the Los Angeles Lakers. Hey, good news, Laker fans. Jordan Clarkson, Julius Randle, D'Angelo Russell are a young core group that you can build around and they can improve over time. Bad news, Laker fan, you are currently the fourth best team in the state of California. I mean, who are you going to... You're not better than Golden State. You're not better than the Clippers. I'm not even sure you're better than Sacramento. You're fourth best in your own state. Notice I didn't mention Nick Young, Swaggy P, Nicholas Young in that good young core group. There's a reason he didn't get mentioned in that good young. One, he's not young. And two, he's not good. Also not young, Kobe Bryant and Meta World Panda Bear, whatever his name is now. Man, I seriously, when I saw that the Lakers brought back Panda Bear, did he lose a bet? Why on earth are they bringing him back? He didn't have anything his last two or three years, and they're saying they're bringing him back kind of in an assistant coach mode. Ron Artest, he's going to come back and coach these guys up. I love it. Let's move over to the Southwest. San Antonio Spurs. San Antonio Spurs went out and got LaMarcus Aldridge, and that is a really, really good sign for the Spurs because he's going to give them some rebounding. He's going to give them some scoring, and personality-wise, I think he fits in really, really well with that group. My concern for the Spurs is that they don't have that good young point guard behind Tony Parker, and we have seen Tony Parker does not look like Tony Parker. And I know they have Patty Mills behind him, and he's younger. He doesn't seem like he's gotten it done. The problem at point guard is the point guards in the West are so good. I mean, you've got Chris Paul. You've got Steph Curry. You have, you know, even now, our next team, Ty Lawson, you have some very, very good point guards in that West. Tony Parker seems like physically kind of running out of some juice. Tony Parker's kind of running out of some gas. We'll see if the Spurs can keep it going. I do love that signing of LaMarcus Aldridge to that team, though. Houston Rockets. Rockets got some great news this offseason. And no, I'm not talking about Ty Lawson. And I'm not talking about the signing of, you know, when they drafted Sam Decker and Montrezl Harrell. I'm not even talking about that. I am talking about the Kardashian skank last week going back to Lamar Odom. Because that is great news for Rockets fans when she left James Harden. That is amazing news because we all know that Kardashian family is poison and the Rockets would have been down there with the Nuggets had that relationship continued. We would have seen James Harden's career slowly go down the toilet. Great news for Rockets fans. They'll be another tough team that should be pretty good. Ty Lawson will probably take a little bit of numbers away from James Harden, but he's going to make them a better a better team overall, and he's going to make James Harden have to work a little bit less. Now, big key for Ty Lawson: keep an eye on what is in that Gatorade bottle, because we know what he did in Denver. And I realize this Denver Nuggets team has driven me to drink, so I can only imagine what it did to Ty Lawson. Keep an eye on Lawson, make sure he's not getting behind the wheel of anything. The New Orleans Pelicans, good young team, but Tyreke Evans is already hurt. Just had surgery on a knee. Eric Gordon is always hurt. Drew Holiday just coming back from an injury. I understand Anthony Davis is the best young player in the NBA, but you're asking an awful lot from Anthony Davis to come out and drag this team to the playoffs again. I don't know if the Pelicans are going to make the playoffs this year. One team, and I probably should have this team up a little bit higher, the Memphis Grizzlies. Memphis, I like that team. I like their toughness. I like their scrappiness. Mark Gasol, Jeff Green, Zebo, Tony Allen. The problem with Memphis is they can't shoot, and they never go get a shooter. Can you imagine if Memphis or someone like, if they had gone and got like a Paul Pierce, and I realize he's old, but he can just shoot it. Do you realize how much that would change the look of this team? Because all anyone does when it gets playoff time, they just zone them. They just collapse everything inside and dare you to shoot. And then we see Tony Allen outside clanking three-pointers over and over and over again, and they still haven't changed. Kind of the definition of insanity. Last, in the Southwest, I'm going to put the Dallas Mavericks. They lost Tyson Chandler. They lost Monte Ellis. I know they got Chandler Parsons, and I realize they got Deron Williams. The problem with that is that Parsons has a history of injuries, and Deron Williams, he's kind of had a history of not being very good in the last two, 3 years. So I don't like the Mavericks' chances of making the playoffs over there. If I was going to pick a rookie of the year right now, and I realize it's not even November yet, but I was going to pick a rookie of the year, I actually would go with Denver Nuggets point guard Emmanuel Mudiay. And you might think that's a homer pick. It's actually not, because I think he's going to have the ball and he's going to have the chance to put up huge numbers because there's not really too many other people to pass to. And so I think for that reason, and we all know, we've talked about this before, they give the rookie of the year to the guy with the highest, you know, average. They don't even look at his play. They don't look at how it affected his team. They just say, oh, well, you had 18.9. He had 17.4. 18.9 wins. That's how they give the rookie of the year out. I think Emmanuel Mudiay can win that. MVP. I'm going to go with Blake Griffin from the Los Angeles Clippers. I'm going to say Griffin is the MVP this year. They don't like to give it to the same guy again, so they don't like to give it to Steph Curry. he is probably most valuable to his team. They don't like to give it to repeat guys like LeBron James because he's already won it before. So I'm going to go with Blake Griffin and say that he wins it. Coach of the year, I am going to go with the Milwaukee Bucks, Jason Kidd. They've got a good young team. They should put up some wins. I think the Bucks can make the playoffs. And if they do, I think Jason Kidd gets a lot of the credit over there. And NBA Finals pick. I struggle with this. I struggle with this one a lot. I really like the Clippers. I think they have so much talent. I still like the Golden State Warriors. I think they'll be right there. I'm going to take the Spurs on the Western side. And we're just going to see if Tony Parker can Band-Aid that thing up. And if Greg Popovich, who probably is the best coach in the league, can find ways to rest him and at least keep him competitive. I want to pick someone else on the East. Toronto is a team that I really look at on the East. I guess if the Bulls respond well to Fred Hoiberg, but I can't see anyone else overtaking the Cavaliers. They just have too much talent. There's no one else to pick. So I'm going to go Spurs over Cavaliers in the finals. And this time, I don't know if LeBron is going to get that pass of, well, at least he carried him there, because you don't get to keep using that pass over and over like he did last year. Well, he carried him there because everyone else got hurt. Well, you're going to have to step up and make some plays. I'm going to take Spurs over Cavaliers in the NBA Finals this next year. We'll see how that all comes out. As we do every single week, we have to get to our Daily Dose Top 5. Hope you enjoyed the NBA preview, but we've got to get over to our Daily Dose Top 5. Now, here at the Daily Dose, we don't just talk sports. We are here to help you. We are here to help people. We are in the business of helping people. We try to give you a good podcast every week, try to give you some articles to read every week, some things that you will enjoy. And here, once again, we are trying to help you. Because do you realize that Halloween is on Saturday? And you don't want to be one of those people, the obnoxious Halloween party that, they show up and they've got like full Star Wars costume complete with like working lightsaber. You don't want to be that guy. So what we decided we would do is we would give you just some, just five simple sports themed costumes to get you through, that obnoxious Halloween party that you've got to go to. And you want to go because you're going to see some friends, you're going to hang out, you're going to have some food, you're going to have some drinks. It's going to be a good time, but you don't want to go just crazy on the outfit. I realize it's easier for a female because a female can just pick like a costume and then you just put the word slutty in front of it. So I'm going to be a nurse. I'm going to be a slutty nurse. I'm going to be a football player. I'm going to be a slutty football player. It's a lot easier for females. Now, some of these costumes, I'll admit, they can go either way. You can be male. You can be female. It doesn't matter. But here are the top five easy Halloween costumes that you can wear. Just something to keep in mind. Halloween, I know it's kind of a silly holiday. I know it's kind of goofy. I know it was just a holiday started by the razor blade companies, but you've got to participate. You've got to get out there and you've got to have a costume come Saturday night, and you've got to have something good. So let me give you the five easy sports-themed Halloween costumes recommended by the Daily Dose. Number five, and I'm going to be easy. This is the easiest one of the bunch. This is the easiest one of the bunch. You can be male. You can be female. It helps if you're female, but it's not limited to just females. Here is the Halloween costume. You stay in your car. And you park at the very, very back of all the other cars that are at the party. And then you just complain about how everyone else in front of you won't move out of your way. Your number five Halloween costume, Danica Patrick. There you go. See, I'm helping you. Stay in your car. Have people bring you out food and drinks. You kind of complain, how do all these other cars get in front of me? And why won't they just move? Danica Patrick, done. Number four on our list of Halloween costumes, again, a little bit of effort here. It's not, quite as easy. You get your nice suit and tie. You've got the jacket on. You're looking good. You've got a pair of crutches. You're Derrick Rose in the playoffs. Piece of cake. That's the easiest costume you could even have. You might have something to read. Maybe you wear, your kind of hipster glasses. Derrick Rose, done deal. Easy. Number three on our list of easy Halloween costumes you can put on. Now, this one, a little bit more work, but you might have a wheelchair just kind of lying around the house. Get the wheelchair. Tuck your right arm into your jersey, like you don't have an arm. Now, it helps if you have a big giant head or you can put like a big pumpkin on your head. Peyton Manning, done deal. Number three on our list, a Peyton Manning costume is pretty, pretty simple. Number two on our list of easy Halloween costumes, a little more work again on this one. You get your pimp hat. You get your cane, you get your fur coat. You might even have to put in a grill. I mean, you might want to put some gold teeth in there and get some caps on there and look like you're doing it up. Because if you're the Pip, you're probably Louisville head coach Rick Pitino. That seems like an easy one. That seems like an easy one to me. Last one on our list of top five easy Halloween costumes. You get your We're Number Two pennant. You get your pacifier. You might have some cramps that you're dealing with. And you get your box of Rogaine. And LeBron James is attending the Halloween party. There you go. There's your top five Halloween costumes. They're easy. They're simple. Anyone can do them. Hope you enjoyed those. Hey, next week on the show, NFL midseason report. We're going to talk about some of the teams. Now we are reaching that halfway point of the NFL. Where are the teams sitting? Where are they in perspective to where we thought they might be? Who is stepping up? Who is taking some steps back? We will take a look at the NFL a little closer next week. We will have World Series updates. Keep an eye on that World Series. See who is making the run there. Got to talk some college football. And as you saw just now, bringing you the Daily Dose Top 5, you never know which way it's going to go. It may entertain, it may inform, it may do none of those things, but you never know. Hey, if you get a chance, tell a friend. Let somebody else know. That is your homework assignment. I don't give homework very often, but tell a friend. Let them know they need to subscribe to the Daily Dose and check it out every single week. If you get a chance, head over to iTunes. Give us a rating. Give us a review. We would appreciate that so much. As usual, I have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do this show without you. I appreciate all that you do every single week. Hey, thank you all for listening. Hope you have a happy and safe Halloween. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. I will see you all next week.